as the scripture happens in Colossians 1, that virtue will be the same scriptural basis for our meditation this morning. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereas I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the victory which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. In Christ Jesus, our crucified but risen and ascended Savior, dear Christian friends, I know that some of you have seen and even read this book which I hold in my hand, entitled The Discovery of Genesis, How the Truths of Genesis Were Found Hidden in the Chinese Language. This is a very interesting study of quite a number of Chinese characters or ideographs, the written form of Chinese even to this day, which somewhat reflects the older pictograph writing work, and it shows that in many of these pictographs or ideographs, biblical religious concepts are embedded. It would be much too tedious and time consuming to go into any detail, but just to give one illustration, the word for righteousness in Chinese is the picture of a lion or a sheep covering leaves. Now, is that not an interesting continuation of the righteousness conferred by the Lamb of God on sinful human beings? And there are literally scores of other very interesting concepts like that that are clearly recorded as evidence that the ancient Chinese had a large number of biblical concepts of which they were aware, not only the existence of God, but even some indication that they knew something of the plan of salvation, even down to modern times, to the end of the 19th century at least, there were sacrifices that were performed by the Chinese which very closely resembled some of the blood sacrifices of the Old Testament. And even down to the time of the Revolution in 1911, the emperor would ascend the altar to the God of Heaven one time a year in Peking and perform the rituals there that were prescribed according to their ancient custom. For all this, that there were so many, especially Old Testament religious concepts embedded in the Chinese language, down to modern times, the Christian outreach to the Chinese, one would think, would be astoundingly simple because you have to explain only, like St. Paul did, look, this unknown God, I will now proclaim to you. But for all that, Christian outreach to the Chinese over, in fact, the millennia of the New Testament era has been a rather limited enterprise. Just to show you what I mean, I'm not implying that the Chinese already instinctively, without reading the Word of God, knew God's plan of salvation. But I can illustrate this with a simple little note that a Lutheran missionary among American Indians in the 19th century recorded when he reached out to a tribe in the Midwest. And he wrote out in their own language a simple narrative of the story of creation and passed it to the children in his school. And the Indian children brought this home to their parents in the teachings of Wigwam. And the parents asked them, well, what did you learn from this white man in the school? And they told true God, the true manifold, the true spirit. From the very beginning of this world, God has created both the heavens and the earth. And the missionary recorded in his diary, when the Indian parents heard that, they told their children, that must be true, because our own forefathers have always told us that the great spirit has created us and the world. The only point that this makes is that some ancient and so-called primitive people have been much less atheistic than modern scientific Americans, and that they had a better yet some faith, although very inadequate awareness of some of the word of God that must have been handed on for many generations, probably from the time of Noah on. But with all that, I say, the religious outreaches in mission work from Christians in the West to the Chinese has been a rather desultory experience. In fact, one scholar who has examined the history of Christian missions in China has produced a book. They wrote five failures of Christian churches in China. And from the time that the earliest Christians from Byzantium, going through Persia and Central Asia into Western China all the way up to Peking, in the early 7th century AD, down to the time in 1949 that the Chinese Revolution became very definitely and totally communistic, through all those years there were repeated penetrations of massive Christian witness in China, which always seemed to end in almost total failure. And in the crucial period of mid-20th century, although we don't know exactly how many Christians there were in China, it was reliably estimated that it was less than 1.5% of the total population. Our own Christian mission outreach in China has also not been one of the more glorious copies of our mission history. Although it is true that there were quite a number of very dedicated and even wise missionaries that our church sent out, they were caught up on the waves of revolution and internal tension and warfare, and the trials and difficulties between different factions of Christians, that almost the whole enterprise after almost a half a century of this was almost totally wiped out. And the most tragic thing, the most sad aspect of the 19th and 20th century outreach of missionary work to the Chinese is that there was such sharp polarity between which religions were sometimes caught inadvertently between a liberal socializing theology and a narrow fundamentalism that they really liked each other's effective work out to reduce it to zero. Today, we live in an interesting era because in the 70s, a new chapter of American relationships with the People's Republic of China has begun. And more recently, the last 2 years, 2.5 years now, we call the period of the normalization of the them to know who were the Christians. And now there is a new era in the relationship between Christians and the government, between Western nations and the People's Republic of China. Yes, Charles was very to the point that Western missionaries could have done work during the People's Republic of China. But there is a path so that at least the indigenous Christians are permitted to worship at least in certain places. Now, St. Paul has some real telling advice for Christians and members of Christian churches that are very conscious of the need to come to grips with this problem and the challenge of missions to the Chinese. One of the points that St. Paul makes in this passage, which invites to one of his missionary churches, is that there was a thought uppermost in his mind as he was now in prison and thinking of the labor which he had exerted for those people in Colossae and Laodicea and other cities round about there. And the point that he makes is that he says he rejoices that he is permitted to fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in myself for his body's sake, which is the church. That's a stifling philosophy, especially for a Lutheran, isn't it? A really stifling philosophy that the apostle would say he is filling up that which is still lacking of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that the sufferings of Jesus Christ were not adequate for the forgiveness of the sins of the Christians of Colossae, or certainly not for St. Paul. But he is saying in a figurative way that he, as an apostle, as a servant of slaves of Jesus Christ, in his own living exertion now, is walking in the way of suffering that he, Paul, is sacrificing himself, like Christ sacrificed himself for St. Paul and for all the Pauls in Colossae. And Paul is doing this willingly. He is rejoicing that he has an opportunity to suffer like this for the body of Christ, which is the church. And then he emphasizes the fact that he, of which I am made a minister, he says. A servant is the most precise translation. Of which I have been made a servant, coming to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even this mystery that now, in this time, in the New Testament era, all the world shall be brought into the kingdom, as the prophet Isaiah has so often emphasized, as St. Paul also repeated his blessing in his beautiful letter to the Romans, that all the Gentiles shall be brought in to see the light of Bethlehem and learn of the Savior born there for all men. And then St. Paul says that he is conscious of this meaning of this mystery which has now been revealed to men everywhere, and therefore he warns every sinner, and he invites everyone to come now and to learn what is this perfection in Jesus Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to this working which worketh in me mightily. So in this beautiful philosophy, we have some biblical guidelines imitating we can imitate the Apostle Paul in trying to find a new stance, a new basis for meeting this challenge of listening to the Chinese. There are many perplexing paradoxes in being from everything we know, no missionary from the Western nations or churches can enter China and work there. From everything we read, the Chinese Christians have successfully obliterated all denominationalism. There is no distinction among Chinese Christians as to what denomination they came from. And there are also difficulties still in the People's Republic of China, but as you probably may know, there are millions of Chinese in South especially in those areas in the Republic of China and Taiwan and in the British Crown Colony of Hong Kong, where we have been working, and I might say with rather bulldozering results. And we have to get above all Christians here to come to a new realization of the challenge of this mission to the Chinese, who comprise approximately 1/4 the total population of the world. And what we need today is more service in the image of St. Paul and less monetary. We need more slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ who will rejoice if they might be called upon to suffer in the witness outreach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And less mastery, less bureaucrats. We need our rededication, our reconsecration of ourselves and all the resources that the Lord has given us to meet this challenge, which in these last recent years has taken such a very interesting and even encouraging turn. May God help us for His name's sake. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ,